Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:58 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 26th. Well, the Nasdaq today was up another 256 points, closing in on that psychological 12,000 level. It paused at 11,000, it also paused at 10,000, paused for a little while around 9,000, not so much around 8, but definitely around 7. So it does have a tendency to pause around big round numbers, but certainly if this trend is going to remain consistent, we are due a range. If we don't get a range, well, then we can characterize what has already been a steep advance as a true acceleration. An acceleration not only in the medium term, but in the short term as well. So it's certainly something to monitor. But what we have also seen is that some of the large companies which have been ranging for a long time have broken on the upside. Facebook was certainly one of those. It was up $21 in here today. They are finally moving on with the potential to add a buy box into the Instagram videos and Instagram app generally. Facebook has been looking for a way to monetize its massive user base for a long time, and they do appear to now be taking a leaf out of Alibaba's book. Alibaba was one of the first companies to come up with a payment mechanism. Alipay was really a fantastic two-step. It's almost like the Silicon Valley two-step. It's exactly the same way that Uber was able to sidestep regulation, create an entire app that was completely avoiding the regulation that the taxi industry has been subject to globally for decades. And Alibaba did the exact same thing with banks. They offer a higher interest rate than you can get at the bank. That created a massive opportunity for consumer finance. Ant Financial is now looking at an IPO. It could be as much as $200 billion. But the bigger picture here is that Alibaba not only pioneered this consumer finance through its app function, but it also pioneered the buy box inside the app. And that's also a function inside Tencent. And you have WeChat, but you also have WeChat Pay. And WeChat Pay is one of the primary mechanisms for paying for just about everything in China. Well, Alibaba broke on the upside as well in here today. Tencent has found support in the region of 500 Hong Kong dollars and is coming back up towards the upper side of its range. But what's interesting about this movement in some of the larger cap shares in China is that when we look at the small cap shares, those that are being signaled out as the hopeful new technology shares, this new index that's been created has pretty much been going down all month, and it's now right back on its lows. If we look at some of the more, I think, mature technology or small cap companies in China, then the Chinex index has been doing well, and I need to find the correct ticker. There we go. And that one was in negative territory today as well, but it has been rallying rather impressively. And certainly when we look at it on a weekly basis, it broke its downtrend in the middle of 2019. So there is obviously scope for some consolidation in here. Then we also have the CSI 300, which was also in negative territory in here today. So it still hasn't been able to push through this 4,800 point level. There are questions about liquidity in China and the willingness of the central government to continue to stimulate. I think that with the massive floods that are going on the Yangtze right now, then that's probably delaying any real impetus in infrastructure development. But we would have to think that when those floods eventually do end, then there is going to be a very significant infrastructure build, if for no other reason than rebuild, considering the extent of damage and the length of time that these floods have been going on for. It also really very clearly highlights that while it's a successful hydroelectric installation, it's in no way successful in curtailing the risk of floods. And these are the biggest floods seen in about 70 years, particularly upstream of the dam. Well, then when we think about the renminbi, it has been strengthening. And that's particularly against the US dollar. There has been a clear trend throughout August where there's a clear sequence of lower rally highs now since May for the US dollar. And it's coming back down into an area of support around the 6.85 level. Now, that's really the higher reaction lows. So there's been a clear succession of higher reaction lows since the beginning of 2018 and the dawn of the trade war. There was news today that China and the US are talking, at least, and making some progress on fulfilling the terms of the Phase 1 agreement. So that was viewed as positive. Then we also had positive news from Moderna, and the share rallied enough in here today to at least challenge the short-term downtrend, but it's unwound a good portion of the overextension relative to the trend mean. And this area around 60, it was an area of support earlier in the year as well. But what they did find was that some of the results from their Phase 1 trial was that some of the older people who received the vaccine, they may have experienced some side effects, but the immune response received afterwards was on par with younger people. And that's viewed as encouraging because older people generally tend to have a weaker immune response to vaccines. So they are potentially looking at a viable product here. Now, obviously, there's going to have to be a very significant public information campaign to convince people to go out and get it. But certainly, the outlook is looking impressive. Then, of course, AstraZeneca and Oxford University are at the forefront of producing a vaccine as well. And the share there has been able to consolidate now above the trend mean, which is positive. And it's been a choppy but a reasonably consistent advance over the course of the last 5 years. When we think about exactly what is going on, well, we have companies like Amazon that have pushed on to new high ground. Google was also in new high ground in here today. So certainly there is enthusiasm for technology sector earnings following the surge in earnings for Salesforce in here today. And that's a really quite incredible jump higher following extremely impressive earnings in the second quarter. Well, it does help to highlight the fact that the kind of software solutions that are helping to digitize the global economy are concentrated in a reasonably small number of companies. Salesforce is certainly one of them. When we then think about some of the newer upstarts, well, Slack, which are attempting to revolutionize internal communications within companies, has seen its share at least bounce from the region of the trend mean, but it does have to clearly demonstrate that it can survive beyond this hiatus phase in terms of the global economy. Then Zoom, I continue to think that there's just no way this company is going to survive past the quarantines, but it does continue to move higher. It had a global outage yesterday. I think quite interesting is that RingCentral has been listed for considerably longer, and it has a much more robust platform, and it's been rallying for really quite some time already, but it's trading on a lower valuation than Zoom, and it's a much more robust platform, and it's now right in the region of the upper side of its range. Of all the meetings that I've been on, the vast majority using Zoom have had issues, whereas those with using Ring Central have been crystal clear. And I think that has to count for something in the real world. But of course, Zoom is benefiting from a number of schools. Both my children's schools are using Zoom. And then, of course, we have all the universities as well. And what's also interesting is that companies that have historically benefited from the growth of the online learning sector, they have rallied. I mean, 2U, for example, has doubled since the lows in March, but it is struggling to do better than that. And there are a lot of shares have doubled since March. And so far, this has been a rather disappointing development. And I think part of the reason for that is because Zoom has taken some of their market share. Now, when we then think about the commodity sector, there is a Category 4 hurricane closing in on southern Texas and the Louisiana border. But oil prices were in mildly negative territory in here today. I don't think this is a normal hurricane season. Usually we could bet on hurricanes to provide a trading opportunity in energy commodities if they came this close to shutting down almost all production. But the reality is that there's still a surfeit of supply. So what this may do is help to alleviate that surplus. But considering that there is still a surplus, it's just not enough to move the needle. When we look at gasoline, it popped on the upside yesterday and it gave up some of that advance in here today. But so far, it is holding the breakout from that range that persisted from the peak in June. Natural gas prices have clearly broken their downtrend, but they were in negative territory in here today. And in fact, that is technically it's a downside Q reversal because it did make a new high today and closed below the low of the previous day. So we may be in for some consolidation. Of course, if we do get a lot of devastation, that's generally positive for lumber prices because of the desire to rebuild. So lumber was limit up in here today and bouncing from the $700 area. It's a somewhat larger pullback than we had in July, but so far this, if the $700 level holds, then I think we can probably give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The one thing to pay particular attention to is eventually the exchange will raise the limits. Will raise margin requirements for the futures. When they do that, it usually pricks the acceleration higher and prices come back down in a really very aggressive manner. So that is a piece of news to pay particular attention to. When we then think about the outlook for treasuries, well, yields today were a little bit higher. The last 2 days they've been higher but haven't been able to hold the lows. There is this big question for investors. Obviously, we have low interest rates. There is absolutely no desire to raise interest rates anywhere. I thought it was interesting today that Mark Carney, who's leaving his post at the Bank of England, is now going to go and work for Brookfield. And of course, Brookfield is one of the biggest and most successful private equity companies that have been investing in infrastructure and in various pieces of real estate around the world for the last couple of decades. That also gives us, a bird's eye view of where highly connected individuals can see where the opportunities reside. Because if we are, in fact, at the point where inflation should begin to take off, well, hard assets are certainly going to be where people's attention will start to concentrate at the fact that we've seen significant rebounds in the renewable energy sector is less about the particular attraction of the assets and more about the potential for cash flow generation in a utility-like manner that can be gleaned from the sector as more people install renewable energy And as companies provide them with the infrastructure, they get to take a cash flow out of that infrastructure indefinitely. And that is, in fact, the primary rationale behind Brookfield Renewable Partners. And the share has now rebounded and is now pushing on to new high ground. Then, when we start to think about, well, where are we in this cycle? Well, we are still in an incredibly liquidity-rich environment. We have got technology shares that are doing spectacularly well. They've pulled forward earnings from, it's hard to say how far in the future, but earnings are surprising on the upside right now, and investors are willing to give the benefit of the doubt both to the earnings potential but also to momentum. At the other side of the equation, because we have extremely liquid environments, we can also see that gold has rebounded from $1,900, and that's an upside key day reversal. It's a new low for this little reaction. It's rising to close above the peak of yesterday, and it continues to demonstrate support around $1,900. Silver prices were up over a dollar in here today, and that's also demonstrating support, and this time above the $25 area. This was another upward dynamic. Now, we've had both upward and downward dynamics. Generally, we would give the benefit of the doubt to the most recent dynamic, but broadly speaking, this is a range following a very impressive breakout. It had room in which to consolidate. It is consolidating. The reality, though, is momentum is starting to pick up again on the stock market, most particularly in the NASDAQ, but also on the S&P 500. It was up again in here today. We've certainly seen that it's Wall Street has been leading the way forward. Europe was mostly in positive territory. China and Australia were in negative territory. But one thing that is particularly relevant is that the Australian dollar has broken its downtrend. And I think that is very clear on the chart. As long as it is holding the 70-cent level, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. It's the same condition, although perhaps not quite as convincing yet for the New Zealand dollar. And it is certainly steadying here from the 65-cent level. So we're at a rather interesting point that commodity-related currencies have been underperforming now for a really quite prolonged period of time, and they do look like they're turning around. The industrial resources are also turning around, mining shares are doing better, and gold has been also in a resurgent position. The gold shares in here today were also in positive territory, and so far this is a very similar sized reaction to what we saw in May and June, and it is also clearly holding the breakout from what was a 7-year base formation. So the clear potential here is that gold shares are going to continue to rally. They are in a very profitable position, not least because oil prices have collapsed. I do think that the energy sector is particularly interesting right now. ExxonMobil continues to deteriorate. It was at a new reaction low in here today, and there is obviously some speculation that the dividend is under pressure. Chevron has been firmer, but it was also in negative territory in here today. The big challenge for the fossil fuel companies is that they've got a raft of regulation coming down the line ahead of them. There is clear potential that we're going to see progressively more green-friendly regulations imposed globally. That's obviously a headwind for the sector. But then we also have the fact that oil prices are around $40. A lot of these companies probably need higher prices in order to be profitable. And there is the potential that with drilling stopping, with economic growth starting to pick back up again, that the excess oil surplus will get worked off, and we will eventually start to see these companies starting to do better. But it's probably not yet. And then, of course, we have the questions about whether they can hold their dividends in some cases. Then you have other companies where there's a lot of debt. And Occidental was down 55 cents in here today, but it's now right in the region of its previous lows. The company has been trying to figure out how to restructure its debt, whether that's by stretching maturities or selling off pieces of businesses, but they've already cut their dividend. So that, of course, was part of the reason why they pulled back violently in the first place, and not just in March. When we then think about the global economy, a lot is also going to hinge on how well China does and how willing China is to really spend a lot of money in terms of liquidity growth. So far, they have been reticent. It really does depend on how willing they are to back-end load their stimulus into the latter part of the year in order to really get growth firing again. I do think, though, that we've had a period of global economic contraction in 2020. It is very likely that we're going to have a period of global economic synchronized global economic expansion in 2021. If we I remember Ian Little wrote in an email back in March, it was sort of in the question form, whether we were going to have a similar environment after the coronavirus, like the restoration period during the reign of Charles II, which pretty much immediately followed the puritanical reign of Thomas Cromwell. Then we can also think about 1968, where we had all of these massive protests, and then 1969 brought the Summer of Love. So is the potential with these massive street protests, with extraordinary civil unrest, with a lot of questions being asked about the efficacy of the result from the presidential election in what is now only 2 months away, will that all be over in 2021 when a vaccine is available, when the lockdowns end, when everybody can go back to work and school? Will there be a celebratory mood, and will that stoke economic growth and spending and velocity of money? I think that's a very likely scenario. And if that is the case, well, then we're also likely to see inflationary pressures rising. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.